This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Wednesday morning, the day that you get to fully ensconce in Stump Rothenberg at 7:45 this morning. Yankees with a, down 2-0, maybe a little worried about Gerrit Cole, and that changed quickly. Mets looked right away like they were going to put up runs, and they did not. Lakers-Timberwolves game was a disaster last night. Somebody had to win. Lakers did win. Islanders get a second chance at life. I'm back after taking a day to deal with some medical issues in the family, and I say good morning. I listened to a little bit of the show yesterday, by the way, to my dear, maybe dearest friend, the great Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David, and what a day it is, my friend. What a day it is. You mentioned it. I was down and out yesterday. I didn't have you, so I was missing you. I was nervous. Nervous for Sherry, because this is a big-time surgery she was having.
Big surgery. And, yeah, and by the way, a lot of people checked in. A lot of people texted, tweeted, the whole thing. And it went, well, two things. A, it went as well as could be expected. Like, it went perfectly. A couple things. I don't know why. You might even have a reason, or maybe you're going to take the same side as me. I don't know why you're showing up for a surgery 2.5 hours early when you, literally for the first hour plus you sit there and do absolutely nothing. That makes
because
no
they
sense
want to make
me.
Sure you're there. Because they want to make sure that the schedule doesn't get thrown off.
So they're taking an hour plus of your time at that ungodly hour solely to make sure you're physically there.
You're physically there. You're ready. You're prepped. They have a strict schedule, David.
Okay.
Strict schedule.
So called in, repaired the ACL, goes really well, some lateral meniscus damage as well that he said he wouldn't have gone in and fixed had he not been in there. But he said since he was already in there, he might as well take care of that, took care of that. But it's rough, man. I feel so bad for her. It's a real rough surgery and a lot of pain. Barely move. To get her upstairs was a whole lot of work. But, you know, everybody, Winthrop, Hurley, you three guys on the show, of course, everyone checked in to make sure she was doing well. Rick was like, he's the winner, by the way. to the point where it's like more than mothers, more than mother-in-laws, like Rick, how's she doing? What's going on? Where are we at? How's the pain? How's the surgery? I was like, Rick, I'm dealing with a lot of things here. But yeah, everything went well, and I appreciate you and everyone else asking.
Yeah, I was your emotional support friend yesterday.
Oh my God, was I busy.
I've been through it, man. I mean, it's tough for everybody. It's tough for the person getting the surgery. It's going to be tough for you. It's going to be tough for the kids, especially with Sherry, because she's so independent. She wants to do everything on her own, but you just can't.
Kids seemed almost unfazed.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Where's mom? Where's mom?
Oh, no.
Like, she's upstairs in bed. Where do you think mom is? Oh. Like, and then they go, hey, mom. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, because they're kids, because they don't think about any of these things.
Who wants a cheese sandwich? Who wants a cheese sandwich?
You know, you laugh at the cheese sandwich. You think it's all fun and games and cheese sandwiches of life. So he sent me home yesterday. So we get there before 6 o'clock, and then we sit there till 7 o'clock doing absolutely nothing. The woman at the front desk, I had to reintroduce myself three separate times. She had no idea who I was. I was like, I just was in here. I just talked to you. My wife is you know, for surgery. Oh. And what's your name? I said, Dave Rothenberg. My wife is Sherry. Oh, let me look. And then, okay, fine. Then I had to go get her brace and crutches from the car. I said, I just want to drop these off. And who are you? I was like, I was just here, ma'am. I was talking to the surgeon right after the surgery. I said, I think the lady at the front desk, I think she has no memory. He goes, yeah, we have some issues. So anyhow.
Who the hell are you?
Yeah, it was bizarre. Anyhow. They bring her in, nurse brings her in, like 7 o'clock, surgery scheduled for 8. He's like, you have time to go home and like deal with the kids and whatever you have to do, walk the dog. I was like, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So I rush home, and I heard you guys for a little bit. And you know, nice. I'm not usually a loyal listener when I'm not working, but I heard you guys a little bit. Two things. A, it was good. B, I was a little jealous.
See, this is what I was hoping. This is why I like when you listen when you're not here, just so you miss me a little bit.
I did. I was listening. I was a little jealous. I heard my name was mentioned. Oh, Dave was so quick to get rid of Santiago. You know, that's his game. That's what he does. Ray's used to it. Ray doesn't appreciate it. Like, I was a little, like, I missed the guys. You yelled at them. It was funny. You're like, and you're talking today. You're not taking the day off from talking today on the air.
Right, the mutes. That's what I get. You're gone. They all of a sudden, they can't speak.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea, but you should have seen Grasso yesterday. He comes rolling in. This man is shot out of a cannon. I mean, he starts.
It's ridiculous. I heard that too.
He starts vomiting hot takes all over the studio before the show starts.
First of all, one of his hot takes was horrendous.
Scherzer's done.
First, I got the opposite feel. I watched Scherzer the night before, and my whole feel was, boy, Scherzer looks good. If there was any concern about Scherzer, the guy pitching again, can you argue the Padres are a top four lineup in all of baseball?
Yes.
He went five shutout innings and allowed one hit. No?
Right, but it was too many for Dan. Oh. For Dan, it wasn't dominant enough, and there was too many long. It was too many long counts.
Listen, I don't disagree that it was too many long counts, but to gather from that performance two nights ago and say, boy, you know what? This guy's done. And I actually really believe, and you know I say this when I don't think so, I think Dan's a good sports guy. Like,
really,
I think Dan really knows sports. And I don't think a lot of people, to be honest with you, I don't think a lot of people are in our stratosphere where they really know the ins and outs and really know sports. I think Dan really knows sports. I can't believe that was his take from watching Scherzer.
I was surprised. I was shocked. And I was also shocked that this man just does not seem fazed at all by the early morning wake-ups.
No, see, here's, and I heard this as well. You guys were like petting him. It was, oh, Dan. Oh, I know he did last week. I know he did last week. He did one day. He did Tuesday. So because he woke up early on one specific day. Do you remember Tom? When he filled in for RJ?
Yeah, right. He was finished. But that's what I think this is, just like Max Scherzer, right? I think what you saw last year from Max, especially in that game against the Padres, and then the first two starts, you were a little concerned. I think our reaction to petting him yesterday was how he finished up the week, where Thursday, still in good form,
right.
Friday, even maybe even better, and then he shows up on Tuesday and still feels great. And then I said to myself, because you're right, on the way home, I was like, God, we were kind of like stroking him a bit today. It's because the man takes full sleeps. They're not naps.
Saying, hi, this is Rob Manfred. Do you like baseball? Do you like the speed of the game? Do you like the way the game's being played?
That's Rob Manfred, by the way. He takes four-hour naps, this man.
Four-hour naps?
4 hours. It's a full sleep.
Yeah. I think maybe I got 4 hours last night. Maybe.
In a night, maybe I get 4 hours.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm dispensing pain medicines. I mean, listen, I hate to make this all about me. You know that.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know that's not my style.
No.
But what was I good yesterday? Oh, oh my God, was I special? But I meant to tell you this. So I go into the fridge, get a water before we're leaving at 5:40 yesterday morning, right? And there's a line of four separate cheese sandwiches ready to go for every day for Alex.
I'm a hero.
You already made the cheese sandwiches?
No, Sherry did.
Oh. How good is she?
Before surgery, she made him his own separate four cheese sandwiches.
I mean, she really is the best thing that's ever happened in your life.
I think she's one of the best things that's ever happened, period. I got lasagnas dropped off yesterday.
Oh my goodness.
I got bouquets of flowers dropped off. I got large sums of gift cards to one of our favorite restaurants.
This is like Rothenberg. You're like a widow. You're like a widower.
God forbid, because I hoped I go first. I don't want her to go first for so many different reasons.
Oh yeah.
But if that were to happen, I don't think I garner the same kind of attention I do as far as the surgery is concerned.
It's like potluck.
I mean, everyone's just bringing over dishes. I'm walking through the kitchen. I'm like, oh, such the floral smell is unbelievable.
Oh, could you imagine? I'll tell you what though. If somebody comes to your door at some point and says to you, you know what, Dave, I was Sherry, you know, not able to move around, and I understand you guys, the kids. We want to take the dogs for a couple days.
Oh.
That happens, I'm moving to Westchester immediately.
So last night, getting Alex ready for bed, like 9:45-ish, he goes, Dad, what? The dogs jumped onto the counter and ate the bag of bagels.
Oh, no.
I'm like, Alex, there were five bagels in there. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it looked like a crime scene.
What a treat.
All of the bag was like shredded all over the floor. Bagels nowhere to be found.
How big are these? How big is the tall table? How does the dog get up on the table? Like, that's big dogs.
She's tall. Well, yeah, it wasn't even on a table. It was like on the counter at the back of the counter. But at the back, like she had to do real work.
This dog is resourceful.
Oh, God, terrible. So there's a lot to do. So, yeah, you have new life. You're Islanders. I was so proud of myself, too, because the group text the other night, Islanders stink. What are they doing? What an embarrassment. And I wanted so badly to say, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I said nothing. I kept my mouth shut and I said nothing. And then last night, I mean, the Penguin said, you think you guys suck? And you think you guys laid an egg? Watch this. And you're alive.
I still can't believe it. I'm still in shock.
What an awful performance, huh?
Awful. Awful performance. Yeah, I thought we were done. I got asked. I can't even tell you how many times I got asked yesterday. And I was like, what do you want me to tell you? I can't. I mean, they lost. They don't control their own fate. I mean, do I think that Pittsburgh is going to lose to Chicago? Probably not.
Of course not.
Right. They got two easy, I mean, what should be easy games for a veteran team that has, you know, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, one of the best coaches in the NHL. But good old Chicago Blackhawks wanted to play spoiler, baby.
Now, I will tell you this. If you lose, was it Montreal, right?
If you
lose to Montreal, this season has just crumbled at the back end.
Oh, just the definition of a failure.
I don't think that happens, though.
It better not happen. They better see, here's the problem, though, and this is what happened in the last game. Oh, Washington doesn't have Ovechkin or Oshie. Team is done. They've mailed it in, right? I mean, this is vacation. Let's get it started. And you show up in the first minute and you give them life. They score a couple goals. Like, oh, well, we're here. Well, might as well win it. Put Montreal to sleep early. Early. Physical.
I agree.
Get pucks deep. Destroy their defensemen. Have these guys just say, you know what? I don't need to get hurt going into the offseason. Let's just call it a day.
Yeah. Let's
and it's at home.
All you need is one point, right?
And it's at home. Yeah, no, forget the point. I want two, and I want it to not even be a question.
I know what you want. You don't want Boston the first round, but all you need to get in is one point, correct?
Yeah, that's all I need, but I'm saying I don't even want the game to be close. I don't want to be start of the third period tied.
For factual purposes, I'm just asking, all you need is one point, correct?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
And Florida has clinched the spot.
Yes.
Which changes things for the depending on what they're looking at. Because now that Carolina game with New Jersey and Carolina jockeying for who wins the Metro and who you guys play in the first round.
Right. Okay, let me ask you this then.
Yeah, okay.
Don't make fun of me. In a perfect world, who do I want? I'm not so sure I want the Devils anymore.
The way Carolina's playing, probably Carolina.
Yeah.
But Carolina's got the pedigree, though.
Listen, I think the Rangers, if they play well, can and I actually think will beat either team. That being said, there's no easy matchup there in the first round.
No, of course not.
Both
there's no easy matchup in the East.
The East is unbelievable. I can't believe Boston is doing this.
Dude, Boston is... You don't even understand. Wait till you see. Like, they have guys not playing right now because they have some salary cap situations going on. But they're going to have, like, five lines that they could play, eight defense. Like, they're loaded.
How did loaded. They get so good? Because I don't feel like I came into the season and love the hockey talk, by the way. We'll get into the baseball in a moment. How did we get to the point where they're so good so quickly?
They've always been good. The only concern about them was all the injuries. Remember they had a bunch of guys go down at the end of last season?
Right.
And how long would it take to get back? Like Marchand was going to be
out. I didn't expect this.
Well, no. And then Bergeron was talking about retirement. They got him back. Bringing back Krejci was huge. And then for some reason, whatever happened with, I guess, Omar last year had a bunch of stuff going on off the ice. Didn't like where he moved.
Right.
And he straightened that all out. And now he's
terrifying.
Dude, Pastrnak's got 60 goals and 51 assists.
Terrifying.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's when the four of us together. That is the show.
That's why
I suggested that one of us is off. Everyone should be off.
So you think if I... So yesterday, Sherry has surgery, and now you're off, RJ's off, and Raymond's off.
Yes.
What sense does that make? All right, bye-bye.
Perfect sense. We all come as a four-man unit to support you.
I mean, it works out nicely for us because now when RJ takes vacation, I also get vacation?
Yes, when RJ has the baby, we all take vacation.
I get paternity?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then they give us the baby, and it'll be like three men and a baby, and we watch the baby for a little bit, let them have some alone time.
I got to be honest, and I've told you this in the past, I'm not a huge baby guy.
I'm a big baby guy.
All right, so Rick, you can get my turn at the baby.
Okay.
Now, maybe if it's someone else's baby, I can deal with it a little bit better.
Are you saying you dealt with your own well?
I dealt with Ben incredibly. Alex, not so much.
I think we know that.
I didn't really want Alex.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And there's the why.
And that's Mini Dave. You didn't want Mini Dave.
Well, now.
Who's the baby now?
I'm the baby. He's the greatest thing since, you know, half-eaten bagels off the counter by a dog.
I wonder why it turned out that way.
At the time, listen, you know what? You can't blame me. A child is a lot of work. Yeah, and Jerry's like, I want another kid. And I was like, I don't want another kid.
Right now, he's going to be like the draft pick you didn't think panned out that you never knew you needed so badly these next few months.
Right, exactly.
He's
right.
He's walking the dogs yesterday. Ben could care less about anything. Right?
Well, Ben's focused on baseball. He's the starting second baseman for the varsity team. He's got big things going on.
Well,
it's important stuff.
All I know is Alex is a great helper, and he's great, and I'm glad I have him now. I don't know why you blame me for saying I didn't want him at the time.
Well, just because you're not supposed to say it. You can think it.
So if I thought it, fine, but saying it, that's where I cross the line.
Pretty much.
When your kid asks you, like, who's your favorite, you can think in your head that, yeah, I mean, everyone has a favorite. You can think in your head which one the favorite is. You can't say it.
Yeah, but every time whoever asks me who's your favorite, I just say you are. Because they rarely, if ever,
that's not nice.
Well, they rarely ever have asked me together. So Alex is like, Dad, who's your favorite? You're my favorite.
Yeah, but what happens if they corner you? Because they get into a fight, and Alex says to Ben, Dad said I'm the favorite, and Ben's like, No, he tells me I'm the favorite all the time, and then they confront you.
I haven't thought that far down the road. I don't know. I'm hoping we never get to that point. So I would have been fine had the Mets just gone out and lost to the Padres last night. The way they lost is really disheartening. First inning, bases loaded. You can't get a run.
You can't get any.
I mean, come on. And Peterson, who I don't love, was very good. So frustrating last night's loss.
Yeah, but I mean, this is, again, Peterson was pretty good. And it's,
I thought he was very good.
Yeah, I thought he was good. Listen, he was good. I mean, it's the offense that's part of the problem here. I like Mark Canha. I know you like Mark Canha. He's a pro's pro. Should he be batting fifth in your lineup behind Alonso? No.
God, no.
No, right. I mean, should Pete Alonso get picked off of first? No. That shouldn't happen.
Awful.
I mean, then in the fourth, you have first and third no outs. You only score one run. That's the inning Pete got picked off.
Right. Well, you had first and third no outs, and then you had third one out. So you actually felt like okay, whew, thank God I got a run.
Right. And then, you got to Hader, couldn't throw strikes. You finally got to him at the end of the game. And then Alvarez, of course, because this is what happens, big spot at the end of the game. He strikes out at 3 Ks in the day.
You wonder why Buck continuously says he's not ready.
Well, dude, you missed was it yesterday? I don't know what. It said, bring all the kids up. Every one of the kids. Bring them all up. Let them play.
Who is it? Grassa?
No, just all the people that call in because they want, because, again, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, and I know you agree with me. This is the risk you run when you take the same exact lineup from last year and then now have it again the following year. Like, the problems all of a sudden are just going to disappear. Like, Daniel Vogelbach all of a sudden is going to become a great DH, and all the work in the offseason that Mark Canha has done is going to all of a sudden turn him into a big-time home run threat.
That's what's so frustrating to me. Why will we be better this year? Just because we will. What sense does that make?
It doesn't make any sense. And you start looking at some of the stuff, and I know it's early. I mean, it's 12 games in, you're 500, that's fine. But like last year, the Mets' bread and butter was they had the second best batting average in all of Major League Baseball, which was .259. Care to guess what their team batting average this season is?
Yes, I know, so it's not fair because I'm well prepared.
It's 214. Yeah, right, which is 27th.
And it was 218 heading into the game last night, and now it's 214.
Yeah, right. So OPS 26, slugging 27th, runs 23rd. They were fifth in runs last year. With runners in scoring position. Oh, this is even worse. Runners in scoring position this season, they're batting 200, which is 29th. Last season, they were 269, which was fourth.
I don't know that there was ever bloom on the Billy Epler rose.
No, dude, he's in one right now.
But the trade deadline last year. Look, Escobar. I'm sorry, Escobar is almost at the verge of being unplayable. Canna, who is fine, is batting fifth. Vogelbach can't even get into the lineup when you're facing righties at this point. I mean, what he's done is really it's bad.
Give me some Franchi Cordero. How about that? Can we get him?
Where does this guy come from? Really?
He had a great spring. For some reason, Baltimore didn't want to keep him.
And Baltimore's offense is unbelievable.
Yeah, we need some of that, please.
Well, but it doesn't feel like the Yankees always, and I know the Yankees have their issues as well, but they always like, oh, we'll pick up Matt Carpenter, and he'll go for 5 million home runs, and we'll pick up Franchi Cordero, and he's like, how do they always make this work?
No, the better question is, because they do always find players like that, and how Yankees fans still call and want Brian Cashman fired all the time.
Well, you know
that's
why.
That's the better
though.
Question.
Because at the end of the day, they're not winning what they want.
Right.
That's why.
But you always overlook, the Yankee fan always overlooks the good moves and just focuses on the negative moves.
Correct. Which
is exactly what all the Yankees fans were doing. All the Yankees fans screenshotting pictures of the lineup. This lineup is trash. Why is this our lineup? And then, of course, they go
for 11.
They go and score 11 runs.
Now, here's the thing, though. I'll ask you. We'll get to the calls in a moment. 800-919-3776. Are they putting up 11 runs because the lineup is really, you know, so good? Or are they putting up 11 runs because they're going up against a guy that you never heard of before?
Well, I think it's both. But it's just funny. Like, before the game even starts, you're seeing pictures on Twitter of the lineup. Like, it was even from the station. Like, Jake, Ty was talking about it because you had Calhoun, Cabrera, Cordero, Trevino, and Hicks
Which is an underwhelming lineup.
Underwhelming, but that all produced for you last night.
Correct.
Yeah.
What did they do? Calhoun, 1-for-5. Cabrera was 1-for-4, right? Cordero was 1-for-4, but it was a huge one.
Trevino is the reliever.
Is the pitcher. Yeah. That's going to throw me probably for a long time. And Hicks even had a couple hits last night.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But you did this against somebody by the name of Gattis.
That's right.
So I think there's probably a little bit of... I think there's always going to be that concern until they produce against the big pitcher in the big spot that the Yankees can't do that.
Right. Well, which you saw. I mean, which is funny because you saw that the night before. When you had, and I said it to Dan yesterday, it kind of had like the Yankee playoff feel to it, which I mean by playoff feel, I mean the problems that you see from them in the postseason is really good pitcher.
Right.
Didn't get to him enough early, then all of a sudden couldn't do anything, and no home runs, no win. And yesterday was the opposite because Cleveland got to your ace early, and then he was like, enough of this, and then he just shut it right down.
He sure did, and you put a lot of runs on the board. Let's go to a call or two, and then we'll take a break and really line up the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Tyler in Newton. Good morning, Ty. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, sheesh. I can't even believe that I'm on the radio with you guys. How are we doing? Good morning.
We're doing great. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing good. First of all, pleasure. Rick, you're the man. Dave, you're so smart. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, though, so I hate most of your takes, but you're usually right. And, yes, there we go, DPH. Deepa Peppo, as Keyshawn called you.
Rick DiPietro and company.
No, no, it's DiTrapipo is what he in
That's
fact
right.
called.
He's the hot people.
Yes. Yeah, RJ, did you screen my call? Because that was a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Oh, for God's sakes. Now we're having him look
at sorry. Oh, yeah.
RJ and bringing him onto the, I mean.
Stupid you know. Cowboys fan. And last of all, you guys are the best show on ESPN Radio, much better than Bart and Han, much more entertaining than the Michael Kay show. Sorry. Oh.
No, it's very nice, but you don't need to take shots at other shows.
Yeah, but he's listening, though. But the PD, he's
shots.
Listening,
giving
though.
Giving you guys props.
Okay, we'll take
you guys
it.
Are the best. DCR was the best, especially when you guys did Marry, Lover, Trash, or what was it?
Cuddle, Marry, Trash. They did it yesterday.
Every Tuesday.
We do it every Tuesday.
Yep. Yes, but you guys used to do it on DCR with food every single day.
That's not us. That's because I ran it.
Heard on the radio.
This is Santillo vehicle now. He's the one that made it all buttoned up.
All right, come on, Raymond. Anyway, I called in the beginning.
What is
the subject has changed very.
You know what? He's right, Ray.
Subject,
be better when you run CMT. Go ahead, Tyler. I'm sorry.
The subjects have changed a lot, but it started with you had to take care of your family and do stuff for one day.
Not one day. Tyler, not
your
not one.
Voice sounds so strained today. Sounds like you have been sick for 2 weeks because you had to, you know, man up. And have you had to do laundry yet?
No, I'm not doing laundry unless I'm forced into a corner.
I hope the wifey is doing well. Wish her the best.
Thank you.
But I don't want it to be all about me. I don't want it to be all about me. Yes, you do, Dave.
No, I don't. Yes. No. And what do you mean I sound sick? What does that mean?
Your voice sounds very hoarse today. Is that because you had to, you know, take care of the family for one day?
Yeah, my voice is hoarse because I had to take care of the family. No, if in fact, and thanks for the call, Tyler, if in fact my voice is hoarse, it's because my allergies are bothering me a lot.
But and potentially screaming at the dogs, which I could completely understand.
Do you think I sound hoarse?
No, I think you sound great.
Yeah, I don't feel hoarse. So I
still can't get over the fact that Sherry pre-made all the cheese sandwiches.
All the cheese sandwiches.
That's so nice.
Because she cares. Because she's unbelievable.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Did you see, by the way, and I know there's a lot of discussion all over the place, the Bat Boy in Cleveland last night?
Yeah, I did. I did see him. They were talking about it all day yesterday, yeah.
Firstly, there is no, and I don't know how you'll fall on this. In my opinion, no more antiquated, ridiculous team rule than the Yankees. You can't have long hair and facial hair.
It's not just the Yankees.
Who else does that?
Islanders.
Do they?
Yeah, you got to shave. And it's got to be like a straight shave.
Well, in the playoffs, you have to shave?
No. The playoffs is the only time you get to grow it out.
Well, it's ridiculous.
I don't know where I fall on it just because I haven't had to. I've never been on a team where you're required to shave every day because I don't shave every day. And I had crazy long hair, but I guess I understand it.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, they you want to look like the same reason why they make us wear suits to games is they want you to look presentable. They want you to look professional.
But you could have a beard and look presentable.
Well, in the Yankees, you can have a mustache.
Right. But you could have facial hair. You could have long hair and look presentable.
I don't disagree with you. And I'm probably on the side of, especially when you see what percentage of the Yankees that are no longer Yankees immediately grow back their beards?
Almost all of them. The second they get out of town, it's like they let themselves go wild.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the fear, too, is that if you give an inch, like if you say, okay, you can have a beard, but there's a certain way you have to maintain the beard.
Now, all of a sudden, they run rampant.
Right.
I don't know. This day and age, it seems strange.
Okay, listen. If you want to do it with the team, and the guy's no going in, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have to have my hair a certain length, and I'm going to have to shave every day. But I want to be a Yankee. You're going to do it. It's not what the ball boy in Cleveland signed up for.
He's not a drummer in a band. He's not even a Yankees ball boy or employee.
Right. He works for the Guardians.
And apparently he's a musician. He's a drummer. I think you have to have long hair like that.
Right, so he tucked it into his helmet.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous. I actually thought when they first took a shot of him, like, oh, my God, he cut all his hair off. And then Kay's like, he tucked it under his helmet.
He tucked it under the helmet. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he must have had a pound of hair under that thing.
Yeah, he had a long. Yeah, his hair is long.
Very long.
Yeah, those like, even in the NHL, like, you're visiting, your staff in the locker room is the Islanders pay for the visiting teams. They're employed by the Islanders. They work the visiting team locker room.
Right.
And then they, of course, have their equipment managers and everything else. But, yeah. Like, you're not required to go by the team rules of the visiting team.
Well, apparently you are, though. Because yesterday the guy showed up with it with a man bun.
Yeah, well, they probably said something to him like, hey, do us a favor. Tuck
that 12 pounds of hair up into that helmet, would you? And you know what a phrase is I can't stand? If George were alive, I mean, you know, it's amazing. And there were a lot of things George did which were great. There were a lot of things George did which were not great. But you have this remembrance of George Steinbrenner as he was like the perfect owner in all of sport. If George were alive, this would never happen. If George were here, you know, Aaron Judge wouldn't even flirt with going to another. If you make it sound like the Yankees won year after year after year after year with George Steinbrenner. Yankees were not always great. And in fact, a lot of people think went on that run in the late 90s because George was not allowed to be around the team.
Yeah, but you know how people are. I mean, and it's not just sports. I mean, you romanticize things that happened in the
absolutely
in the past.
Absolutely. If George were here.
You know, like the thing with the whole thing, and you know what's funny is Hal's kind of gone out of his way to not be George.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, getting the Aaron Judge thing done the way he got it done is, I mean, that's George-esque. But, like, I think if you were to push me on how I feel about it, it's like, listen, whatever allows you to play at your best. If you're somebody that has this thing where you feel more comfortable with long hair or a beard, and you're going to play your best like that, go, you know what, wear the beard. Wear the hair. Just make sure it's not, you don't get like a sloppy mess.
So RJ just asked me a great, great question.
Because he's the best.
He really is very good. I actually heard him on the air yesterday, you know, kind of holding court, and I was like, he should have a show. Like RJ's at that level. Tell me you wouldn't listen to Santiago and Santillo.
How many times have you heard me suggest it? When we're off, they do the show. How many times?
Many times. Many, many times. So Otani, end of the season, says, you know, through a translator, of course, I'd love to play for the Yankees now. I had a misstep. I went to the Angels. I'm not happy there. Want to go to the Yankees, but I want to grow out my hair thick and lustrous. Just really let it all hang down. Yankees say, no, you can't do that.
This was the whole Bryce Harper conversation, wasn't it?
It's ridiculous.
Like, what's going to happen when they go after Bryce Harper? Are they going to make him shave his beard or cut his hair?
Don't you have to?
I don't know. Do you?
Yes. If this is who you are, I think you have to. If you're going to make the ball boy for another team put his hair up inside the helmet, don't you have to make guys on your own team look, you know, somewhat appropriate?
Yeah, unless you change the rule.
Well, if you change the rule altogether, that's different.
There are some exceptions, too. Don't let them fool you, either, because Gerrit Cole, I mean, his hair was kind of long.
It was longish, yes.
They would let CeCe, before he pitched, kind of grow the outline of the beard out a little bit, because he liked to pitch with the beard. So you could kind of, like, when he pitched, you could kind of see that they had let him grow it for a couple days. Dude, you're all about winning. Like, I get it. I mean, you're a reflection of the organization, and we want to be all business, and we want to look put together, but when it's all said and done, it's about winning as many games as possible and getting the best out of your players. If your players need to have a beard to feel good about themselves or longer hair to feel good about themselves, then hell, it's the difference.
I don't know. It makes no sense to me. Let's go to Khalid in Roosevelt and see what he's got on his mind on baseball. Good morning, Khalid. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a statement and a question. My statement is, the last three games, the Mets have starting to get back to who they was last year as far as being patient at the plate, getting base runners on the base path, and I like what we're doing. Of course, we still need another bat that can produce some runs. But my question is last night, Alvarez, he takes the first two pitches, they're balls. Now, in my opinion, why doesn't he get the take sign for at least the next pitch to see if they're going to go three, if the pitcher's going to go 3-0, because Hayter clearly threw three more balls that Alvarez swung at, which cleared, you know, which basically took us out of the game. So I wanted to know you guys' take on giving Alvarez the take sign, because he was kind of anxious all night. So what's you guys' take on that one?
I think it's more than him being anxious all night. I think that's what you've seen from him. He's a little over-anxious because he wants to go out there and prove to everyone he belongs and he wants to do damage. I get what you're saying, because isn't that a bad? I mean, Hayter didn't have to throw a strike. I mean, they're preying on the fact that he's gonna be over-anxious and he'll swing at stuff. Give him something to look at and he'll swing at it. But you're also, I mean, this is one of your top prospects, right? Like, I mean,
technically he's your top prospect.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's still the case now, but you're trying to have a moment where all of a sudden the switch goes off in his head and he's the guy you've seen as he's worked his way up through the minors. Like, in that spot, I mean, you want him to do damage. You don't necessarily want him to, like, he's got that ability.
Of course he does. And what better time to get a cookie or at least a good-looking pitch than 2-0 in that
right
spot? You figure he's going to get that, and he's not capable now.
What kind of message is that sent to the kid, too? Like, that's the other part you guys
take,
like,
a 2-0 pitch down the middle.
Right, like you just got to, like, you get the take sign and it's a strike right down the middle. Like, they don't trust me. They think I stink. Like, I mean, that's everyone wants to overlook that part of it, is the mental part of it.
How long can you go with Escobar at third base and not bring up Beatty or Mauricio?
I would say they probably give him maybe the rest of this month.
So we're going to have the whole month of this?
Maybe not the whole month. I mean, all three of those guys homered yesterday, too. So, I mean, that if Beatty continues to play well and Escobar struggles, I mean, at a certain point, Buck, I think part of this is just Buck has the ultimate respect for veteran guys, and everyone in that clubhouse loves Escobar. So he just wants to make sure that he's getting him the appropriate amount of time to feel like, okay, I mean, now it's on me.
But
I just didn't get the job done.
Rick, when he steps to the plate, you think to yourself, this is an out. He's not
111's not good. 111's not good.
No, 111, no good. And you know what? It's not like he's coming off a season where he hit 297 with 30 home runs. He's coming off a season where we made excuses for him, and he was awful for 5 months, and he was really good late in the season, but he was awful for 5 months, and he's dreadful right now.
Yeah, he's dreadful right now, but let's not pretend like the rest of the team is smashing the cover off the baseball.
No, and you know what? And I think the Yankees have some of this, too, although they're getting production from the bottom of their lineup. The Mets are so – if Lindor or Alonso or McNeil or Nimmo or Marte, if one of those five guys does not produce, it does not come from anybody else.
No. Oh, listen, there were a couple games early on where Canna and Pham had –
Fam had
a couple
had
good
one
games.
Good game, but he's looked lost since.
But yeah, I mean, this is. But you knew that, though, coming in. I mean, what was going to change? It's the same. I mean, the only thing that was going to change for a lot of people, and I think that's why everyone is so hell bent on getting them up here, was having one of the young kids step in and be the difference maker. I don't think anyone trusted Escobar, and you mean still, like, everyone can't stand Vogelbach. Fam's fine, but he's not what you. I mean, he's not.
No, Fam is a good fourth outfielder.
Right, he's a good bench player. But I mean, you need. And again, I like Mark Canna a lot. I think he's a good guy. He's a pro's pro, but he should not be batting fifth in a lineup that's expected to try to win a World Series.
Can you sell me right now on Billy Epler?
No,
I mean, between the trade deadline, all the free agents, all the moves.
I didn't even tell you this story.
What?
We didn't get to this because all you did was talk, yap, yap, yap on Monday.
Me?
Yeah, so how about this?
Nasty.
So, you know, Grasso does a baseball show, right?
On Sirius?
Yes, he's got a baseball show.
Yeah.
So, RJ, fill in the blanks here for me if I don't tell this the right way. So, he brings up last week, and this was a well-sourced out story, that in Japan, there is, and he didn't know what the name of it was or how to really truly explain it, but there's some talk now that Senga being a Met would affect Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, because Senga's older and he has to show, like, reverence.
Respect,
or deference.
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
And on top of this, I believe that Senga has a no trade until, like,
yes,
2025.
That's right.
Yeah. No, yes, I could, and no, I could not.
Like, how dumb would you have to be if you're Billy Epler to do that, if that was really the case?
Moronic. Well, I had a buddy of mine. I don't even know where I was. I was somewhere, and he came up to me. He's like, you know, this guy couldn't build a team around Ohtani and Trout. Why do we think he's able to build a team? And I think it's a fair point.
And they spent tons of money, too.
Tons of money. But look what they spend money on. They spent money on guys that were incapable of producing in a big spot. The pitching, they could never get that right. Other offense, they could never get that right. So I don't know. I mean, I have real reservations and real concerns about it. Let me ask you this. Give me two things right now that you look at Billy Epler and you say, you know what, that's going well, or I trust him because of this.
Two things?
Yeah. Like when we talk about Brian Cashman, there's the negatives, and understandably so, right? There's the IKF, there's the Donaldson, there's the Higgs, but there's also many things which are very positive. Do I have that at all with the Mets and Epler?
Marte.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you paid Nimmo a ton of money. You paid McNeil. I mean.
Yeah, but am I going to give a guy credit because he opened the owner's checkbook up?
No. We haven't seen Verlander yet. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot. I mean, you don't have to make a strong argument to me that he hasn't done a good job. I don't think he's done a good job.
That's a shame. So why do I have faith now moving forward in Billy Epler?
You won't until the deadline. See, that's the weird part. That's the weird part about where they're at, though, too, man. It's like, I mean, you have a team that's ready to win now, but you're also trying to turn yourselves into the Dodgers of the East, right, where you have, you know, this really strong farm system. You're drafting well. You're developing well. So you don't want to – you're not there yet, so you don't want to trade your prospects. But you also understand that you got big-time holes in your team right now. And this can't be just a money thing because we're already past that point. That was why the Correa thing was supposed to happen, because that was just money. And we can just spend that, and that's our big advantage, is we got all the money to spend, right, and we can still keep our prospects.
Well, it's kind of embarrassing, no? That you have unlimited funds and you still produce a team that has huge holes in the bottom of their lineup?
Yeah, well, I would just think, I mean, it's how you spend the money. That's really the issue.
Well, that's a problem.
Currently, it is a problem, yeah.
It's a big problem. Let's go to Brian in Milburn. Good morning, Brian. You're on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. You know, Dave, you know I'm a big fan of yours.
I like
Monday
you as well.
Monday through Friday and Saturdays. But, Dave, you got to really stop saying that. I know you're a truth teller.
Saying what, Brian?
About your kids, Dave.
Like, you didn't want your son. When you get older and he start having his own kids, he's going to come to you as a man and say, Dad, why you didn't want me?
Well,
do you really want to answer that question, bro?
No, I'll tell him why. I have an aunt because I didn't want a second kid, Brian. It's a lot of work,
and
I'm not one of these. I'm not one of these. Let's hire a nanny, dads. You know, I'm all in.
Yeah, okay, I respect that. But by you letting him inside your thought pattern, you're letting a child into adult affairs. He's still going to be a child even when he's 40 years old. So he's still going to be a child in your eyes. You let him know what you were thinking.
He's the greatest thing.
A lot of things in life we don't want, but we don't say it to people's faces.
Well, maybe we'd be better off if we were honest. Why need we lie all the time?
Okay, question. What if this other son saw, like, they have a big argument, and he said, that's why Dad ain't want you anyway. How you going to feel?
How come he don't want me, man?
I mean,
exactly.
I don't like babies, and I didn't want another child. Oh.
You just, like, no, the best part about you is you just dig the hole deeper.
Say that.
I feel fine with it. And I tell him, I think I'm going to start his bar mitzvah speech in September with, you know, I didn't want him.
No. Yeah, I'll walk out. I will walk out.
You will not. How dare you?
You know what you're going to have to start doing?
What?
You're going to have to start putting away money for college as well as money for therapy for these children.
Why?
Because they're going to need it.
He's the best.
Yeah, but you've said on numerous occasions to millions of people listening on radio, I didn't want him.
I've told him.
This is not like a dog you rescued. This is your child. You made it.
When he used to need his diaper changed, I would hold him up like he was yesterday's trash and bring him into Sherry and be like, your baby's crying. You might want to change him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
RJ, am I wrong? He's doing irreparable damage.
No, it's not. The kid is so well-adjusted. He's great.
Because you're well adjusted.
He might be showing it, but
He might be holding some anger in on you
right now.
Well,
he may think it's normal. It may take until he's with his classmates or he's in college and he's sitting around and he's like, his buddy's parents are talking about, oh, my parents did this. They planned this for me. And then it'll hit him. But my dad said he didn't want me. And then they'll say, well, then what? And you said, well, listen, here I am, successful in life.
I mean, how you guys bury the lead. He's the greatest thing to ever happen in my life.
Yeah, but I think he's set up down the road for like a real moment where it all comes unraveled.
An epiphany.
Yeah.
So you have nothing in your life that at the moment you didn't want, and then as it carried on, you realized that you were wrong.
Of course I have.
Yeah, like a child. Okay, then there you go.
But a lazy boy.
It's not a child.
Yeah, it's like a car.
Yeah, it doesn't have feelings.
Or like, you know, an apple.
Right. Like this wallpaper.
Or like this jacket I bought.
Right.
It doesn't really have feelings to give back to me. It's more of an inanimate object.
So it's all funny for you guys, huh?
No, I don't think it's funny. I think we're concerned.
Concerned. You've met Alex. He's the greatest.
Yeah, for now.
What do you mean for now? What do you think is going to turn into Jeffrey Dahmer at some point?
No, I just think
he did want to light those Highlanders fans on fire.
Right.
We're just worried he's, well, specifically, your one honesty broker moment away from the whole thing just coming unhinged.
See, I don't think so.
Alex,
you just said that when the baby pooped its pants.
Not with the baby. His name is Alex.
When Alex soiled himself in the diaper, yeah. you would carry him like old trash.
Yeah. Like two hands, like carry him out. I'd be like, Sherry, here, your baby needs changing. He's crying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't want
to. The true test will be when Dave, at what point Alex decides to pull the trigger on putting Dave in a nursing home.
I'm sure it'll be early. Probably late, like late 60, 50s, early 60s.
63.
63. Yeah, world record. fully functional man moves into nursing home. Eats, you know, ground beef every day for dinner.
And applesauce.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.